Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show today. Luis Gonzalez is going to jump on board with us at about 10:20. He didn't pull anybody out of a car today or hug them, you know, all that stuff that happened a week ago. He had something last night that was major in his life. His son, Jacob, who plays over at Chaparral High School, was drafted by the Giants in the second round. We wrote this on Saturday. This was one of the two destinations, either second or third round. It's good that it came true. It's always nice when you write something way ahead of time and it happens. So Luis Gonzalez will be with us to talk about that. We're going to do a deep dive on recruiting. One of the things, if you've watched the television show over on Fox Sports Arizona, it airs again tonight following the Diamondbacks and Tigers. Greinke is throwing tonight, so there'll be a good audience. One of the things in football recruiting is there's a change in the calendar this year, so there's going to be an earlier signing period. And I saw this story. It's been a while. It's been like 6 weeks since this came out. And we've just not had the time to get into it and sink our teeth into it for 10, 12 minutes and talk about the ramifications of this, because I do think there are going to be ramifications here in the state of Arizona. And is this really a good recruiting year that is coming up? Jordan Hamm, who is the face of the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup, and Jason Jewell, our recruiting insider, the other face of the Rock and Refuel recruiting roundup. And Jason takes a lot of face, I must say, when it's watching him on television. The two of them are going to be on together at 10:35. And we're going to do a deep dive on the topic of what does it mean in December this year? Because I think if you're a kid who has had a good year and you're being looked at by Arizona State, but you've already been offered by, let's say, oh, help me out here, Jordan, Colorado, Pueblo. What do you think? You've been offered
Adams State usually.
Adams State, right.
Comes on through pretty consistently.
Okay, so let's just say that it's Adams State. Mm-hmm. And so Adams State offers you and you feel really good about that. But there's a coach at Arizona State who's like, wow, you know, you've really improved. Now, that's a big jump. Maybe that's not the better. Maybe it's San Jose State
right.
who comes along. That's probably a better comparison.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's San Jose State. And they're looking at you and you're thinking, and San Jose State might take you, but the early period, now that it's December 20th, I believe, mm-hmm. That six-week window is going to be really hard for that player that may almost be there. It's real easy, guys. Tyler Shuck is going to go somewhere, probably South Carolina from what I'm hearing right now. But the quarterback over at Hamilton. A year ago, Tyler Shuck was probably the fourth best quarterback in the Chandler Unified School District, from what people told me.
I think that would be pretty fair, yeah, based on both the talent level and what that they had.
What did they have at Chandler last year? What did they have at Basher last year?
Right.
What did they have at Perry last year? And Tyler came along, right?
Yeah.
So he's just blossomed into this. Jim Harbaugh's offering him, and Nick Saban has offered him, and you know, ASU came along late to the party. I've mm-hmm. expressed my views on that. But you don't know in a span of 6 weeks what you might be able to have if you hold out or what you might lose.
Or in the case of Mark Walton, the tight end that committed to ASU from Cibola, he got offered January 25th or something like that. They don't know how the classes really shake out. So that's another instance of just a super late offer from a guy who might have been – not even on their radar at first.
All right, so we're going to get into some recruiting with Jordan and Jason. And that's what Jordan does lots of things, but as does Jason. But Jason's primary responsibility is on the recruiting front. And then Haley's going to be with us today. I want to have Haley in here, Haley Stasiak, part of the team. She was out at the baseball draft last night for the Diamondbacks. Jordan is a seam head. Haley is a bigger seam head. Is seam head a compliment to you too, by the way?
I take it as a compliment.
Do you think Haley takes it as a compliment?
I think she does.
All right.
I think
she's a seam head, though, right?
She's a total baseball nerd.
She's like, I will say, how was your weekend? And she'll say things like, oh, I went to the U of A game down in Tucson on Friday. Saturday I went to the GCU game. And Sunday I went to the ASU game.
Right. Or I streamed a combination of those.
Right. And you're just like, you need to go out, you know, hang out. What are you doing? And you guys have your podcast, this baseball, you're nerding out, you guys are geeking out. It's kind of like a, I don't know, a TechCrunch nerding out on digital or tech, but you guys are doing it on baseball, right?
Right. Every single level, high school, college, pro.
What's it called?
Diamonds in the Desert.
Yeah. And you do it how many times? See how much attention I pay to this?
We do it weekly.
There you go. What day does it come out?
It's going to be different. It's going to be different this week.
What day does it come out?
This week it'll be Thursday. All right. Usually it's on Monday, but this week it'll be Thursday.
Because of the draft.
Because of the draft.
All right. I'm just giving you a
hard
time.
We're being flexible, Brad.
That's good. I'm glad you are because I'm not. So we're going to talk with her about the draft last night and the Diamondbacks and the local players because they really get into the local players. So we're all over the place, and I love these types of shows because it's pretty easy to sit here and talk about the NBA Finals. So I will start there. Watched the game last night. Watched it from start to finish. There's a simple pleasure in my life when I'm able to watch a sporting event with my son, and he actually has to give me his phone before the sporting event starts. That was the case last night. We're sitting there watching the game, and it's throw me the phone on opening tip, and every commercial I would throw him back his phone, but then he would have to throw it back to me because I would like for him to pay attention. It's very hard for a 12-year-old to sit there and watch basketball rather than play on his phone and geek out with his friends. As we're watching the game, and he starts making observations, and my wife is watching it too, and she's making observations. Guys, if it's you and me sitting at a sports bar together, we're seeing the game one way, right? And really that one way is like, I don't know, not the biggest way. It's like the tip of the fingernail. I prefer to be with people that aren't consuming this stuff, and that's the only thing they do. Because they see it differently. Like, I'm watching Steph Curry do his thing, and my son is making the observation he really likes how hard Klay Thompson is playing on defense. Who knew, right? He said, boy, Klay Thompson's really playing well on defense. As a dad, I like hearing that. Doesn't mean Steph Curry wasn't playing hard, but he just noticed that Klay Thompson was doing the dirty work. I think if there was a player that was overlooked throughout the NBA Finals, it was Klay Thompson. I really do. You know, Durant was just so good, and I've never seen a player like Magic Johnson would be the closest to seeing where Durant is. I remember when Magic Johnson came into the league, and he was viewed as this total anomaly. Here's a guy that's 6'9" that's playing point guard. Oh, my gosh, we don't see 6'9" point guards or 6'8½. And he rebounds, and he passes. And so you take that as context of through the years to see somebody of that level and playing all the different positions. And we watched Durant last night where he was unguardable and Cleveland's help defense was just atrocious. Just like, okay, let's show this clip and this is how you do not switch because they were not switching. I don't know the number of dunks in this series that the Warriors had or high percentage shots that the Warriors had. But it was like there's just an awful side to the Cavaliers defensively. And I would even throw LeBron James in there. I don't know what Jeff Van Gundy was seeing last night when he said, boy, Deron Williams has played really well. Deron Williams was not good. Deron Williams giving them some really good minutes. Deron Williams, the next time he hits a big shot, will be the first time. The bench play of the Warriors was just superb. Let's take a situation like the Warriors and how they handle out-of-bounds plays. I made this observation last night on Twitter, and every time there was a TV timeout and the Warriors had the ball, every time they would run a play, whatever play was designed in the timeout, and they would score every time. And it would be a high percentage shot every time off a timeout. That's really good coaching, isn't it? Every time you take a timeout, you drop a play, and they execute it. So it's a combination of, you know, LeBron said afterwards, I'm not sure, you know, what to do. We got to figure this out. It's really not that hard. David Griffin will probably be moved on or will move on, and it's probably time for Griff to move on. If it's Griff moving down to Orlando, as is rumored today, good luck to Griff. I wouldn't be surprised if David Griffin down the road, his name surfaces back here in Phoenix. Again, I'm assuming he's going to get blown out because every direction points towards that. The whole idea today of LeBron getting out and going to L.A. I think is nothing more than clickbait. Yeah, he's got a house out there. You know, he may come out and say, I want out. I want to go to L.A. if you're the Suns and you're sitting there today after what you just witnessed, not just with the Warriors winning, but you look at the Western Conference, and you're Robert Sarver, and you're making money hand over fist and putting an inferior product out on the floor, and a product that has had very little direction, has been rudderless. Outside of getting Devin Booker here, they've rotated through GMs and coaches and direction and so on, and just the overall structure of the organization you look at and you say, what are they doing over there? If you're Robert Sarver and you're making money hand over fist and you want a new building and you've got the Warriors sitting there in front of you and you have every other team within the Western Conference apparently appearing to get better, or if they're going to get weaker, I mean, the only team I look at and say they could totally implode is the Clippers. I mean, really, the Clippers could lose Chris Paul. The Clippers could lose Blake Griffin. They've got to go through a complete makeover. Lakers are going to have a high pick. You know, the whole Lonzo Ball stuff, that was reported on Friday. Adam Zagoria on Friday reported that the Lakers were having some second thoughts, and the Lakers had their eye on some other players. It's been a national story for the last 4 days that the Lakers are looking at going a different direction. It's not breaking news. I think that if you're Vegas, Vegas last night had the highest favorite. The Warriors are the highest favorite. I thought about having Jimmy Vaccaro on today to talk about this. The Warriors have been listed as the highest favorite to win the championship next year. They've been listed the highest favorite in the history of sports. That includes the New England Patriots being listed as the favorite. As sports gambling takes over our country, and it's just going to continue to do so, that's why we've been doing Jimmy for 5 years now. We see it. There's no downside to what's going on up in Golden State. Could Steve Kerr walk away and they hand the keys to Mike Brown because Steve Kerr's health is failing? I'm sure they could. It would not surprise me. Paul George going to Cleveland. What is Paul George going to Cleveland really going to do? I mean, seriously, he's a very good player. But is that going to guarantee another championship in Cleveland? You know, Boston came very close and pushed Cleveland. Boston sitting with the number one overall pick. So, fine series to watch. Very good basketball on one end. Total mismatch when it came down to winning it. People bitching about officiating. That happens every year in postseason play. I think that's really, I don't know, lowest common denominator to sit behind a microphone and say the officiating wasn't any good. That stuff doesn't bother me. It doesn't. I don't see where there's any weakness in Golden State. I don't know what the Suns can do. I mean, the Suns this year for them in progress would be making it as an eighth seed. Making it into the playoffs this year would be progress. And we have the draft that is a week from Thursday, so that puts a bow on the NBA Finals. Luis Gonzalez is next. Looking forward to visiting with Gonzo. He had a terrific night last night. His son gets drafted. How beautiful is that? But he gets drafted by, I would say, if we're talking rivalries, the Giants are at the top of the list with the Diamondbacks. So we've got to get into that with Luis Gonzalez. That is next. We'll talk some baseball and him saving a lady out of a car or however that story was spun. That is next. Stay with us. So the very first day, the very first time I met a guy named Luis Gonzalez was in Tucson. I think it was 1999. Had it been 1999. And I'm out by the pool, and this guy comes walking in, and he looks around, and he sees me, and I don't know if he thought I was a ball player, because I don't know, I was a skinny, runt, tall dude. But he says, you with the Diamondbacks? And I said, well, no, I'm not, but I was down there doing my show. I introduced myself. I said, I'm Brad Sussmat. He said, I'm Luis, just call me Gonzo. That went through my mind last night when I got the text that his son, Jacob, had been drafted by the Giants, and the first thing I said is, crap, man, I am old. So with that as the backdrop, here's Luis Gonzalez. It's a lot of years. I mean, geez, oh, man. Congratulations, though.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate it. Seems like yesterday that I saw you out there by the pool doing your radio show. So, yeah, it's an unbelievable 24 hours that we've just been experiencing here, and we're excited, and I know how hard my son's worked to get to this point. So it's an exciting time in our household right now.
Okay, and that's just awesome. When was the first time, do you recall the first time you're at a ball field and you're watching him play and it's, you know, I think he's going to get drafted? How old was he? Do you recall that?
No, I really never you know, you always hope, and that was always one of his dreams and goals, especially as a little kid growing up in a big league locker room, being around myself and some of the great players that I played with. But I think for him, his work ethic, just seeing how hard he's worked and how big he's gotten and developed, that he just made himself into a prospect. I mean, he's gone out there, he's played on some quality teams here in Arizona that my brother has been a part of coaching, and they were nationally ranked, and he continued to move up the levels. And I think this past summer, last summer, when he made the All-American team, that's when I really started to hit me that this kid might have a chance at playing at the next level. And as a father, and not just as a former player, but just as a dad, and seeing how hard your kid works at something that is his passion and what he wants to do, it's a pretty proud moment.
And as a position player, you know, was there ever that he's got to be an outfielder? Where is he going to play at the next level? I've had people send me questions about that, about when did his position start to become obvious to you?
Well, obviously there are a lot of people, especially in the draft, there were some teams that were looking at him as a possible outfielder, a corner, left or right fielder, or a first baseman, third baseman. I think right now, he's going to go in as a third baseman, and he's a hard worker. I mean, I've told him last night and before that there's going to be doubters, and you use those doubters as motivation. I mean, I played for 18 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say he can't play, he can't hit, he can't field. And when the manager writes the lineup up, your name's in it. So you got to be doing something right, and people have to believe in you. And he has that confidence, and he knows that if he works hard and puts the time in to get better each and every day, that he's gonna be able to succeed.
But a first-day draft guy, Luis, that's pretty heady stuff. It's awesome.
It was pretty exciting. It went down pretty quick here at the house.
Yeah.
When the Giants called and him and his representative, his agent, were, you know, sifting out the teams that were on the board and what teams were interested in him and where he could land, and everything happened so fast. It was exciting, and we had some, you know, family and friends here. Not a lot, because he's not one of these guys that wants to do big blowouts or anything like that, and I wouldn't have wanted it like that either.
Sure.
But to spend that special moment with some close family and friends was pretty special.
Talking with Luis Gonzalez, his son Jacob was drafted by the San Francisco Giants, 58th overall. That was last night. The obvious question, too, that I'm getting today is, will he go to TCU, or is he just going to go on to the major leagues?
Well, he's been receiving a lot of calls and texts from Coach Lofsnego at TCU and some of the guys over there, and they've been a wonderful support system, and what a great organization and university that they have there. Right now, he is going to explore his options, and I think he's going to. His contract hasn't been finalized with the Giants; they're going to go over it. But if I was a betting man, I would say he's leaning right now into starting his professional career. He feels like he's ready. He's 6'4", weighs about 210 pounds, and he's a big kid, and he's excited about getting to that next level and starting his professional career.
What do you think he finishes at weight-wise, Luis, as a third baseman? 6'4", 220, 6'4"? What do you think?
I don't know. He continues to grow, and he's gotten stronger each and every year. And, I've seen guys, guys are bigger and stronger now in the major leagues.
Sure.
That continue to go out there and put up some astonishing numbers. So I think the sky's the limit for this kid, and I know for a fact that he's not gonna go out there and not play as hard as he can. This guy, he works hard each and every day. I see it when he goes out to the backyard, and we have a facility in our backyard where he can hit and lift weights and stuff, and he's constantly back there 24/7. So it's proud for me to be able to see how hard he's worked and the time and effort that he's put in to get to where he's at right now, and to be able to be drafted by a Giants organization, which is a fantastic organization. We have a divided household now, but
yeah, I know, I know. Okay. What are you going to do on that?
Well, we took a picture last night. Everybody in the family had Giants hats on, but me, because I have my, my loyalty to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I'm proud of him, and hopefully one day he'll be able to step on the field and be able to play against the Diamondbacks, and it should be a lot of fun.
Can you separate being a dad and being a baseball analyst and just look at him and say, this is where he's got to get better? Can you do that?
It's hard for me because I know that a lot of people say, well, he's got to work on his footwork and things like that. But I've seen him get better in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, being a dad and actual baseball guy, I know that if he gets into an organization, and I know how hard the Giants organization works their players, he's going to get better. And I think the big thing for especially a young player out of high school is the fact that you're going to be able to go out there each and every day and work on your skills and do something that you love to do. There's no doubt you're going to become a better player, and I think that's going to happen to him.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. Let's switch over to, the car and the accident And so I'm not being anything more than, was it all that it was portrayed? That's all. Because I've never seen him. I had people texting me, can you please give me Luis's number? It's the lead story on the news. There was an accident and he pulled somebody out of a car. And I saw the video and I saw you holding on. And I don't know. What was that moment like? I've not talked to you about that.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I mean, I was two cars back from the accident and actually saw the car go over the median and hit the other car.
Hmm.
And you really, at first, you don't really believe you're seeing what you're seeing. And then myself and a couple buddies in the car with me, we jumped out. He jumped out to help the car that went over the median. And I obviously jumped out of the car and went to the car that was hit head on. So. And there was an elderly lady in the car. Her airbags were deployed, and just trying to get her out of the car. And then I saw that the car that hit her was starting to catch on fire. So a little bit of panic, trying to be calm for her, but panic in the inside was starting to set in because I really didn't know what was going to happen to the car, if it was going to blow up or if it was going to just be fully engulfed in flames. But, just yelling at her to try to unlock the door and get it open. And she finally reached over, and I was able to undo the seatbelt and pull her out of the car. And, first of all, just checking to see if she had any broken bones or anything, and pull her out and try to get her away from the car as quick as we can to try to get her to safety. Yeah. But, it was fortunate that I happened to be at the right place at the right time to help. And I always say God puts you at the right place at the right time. And fortunately for myself and my friends, we were able to be there to help.
Did you fear for your life at all?
Not at the time. I really didn't think about it. After it was all over and saw how close the car was on fire to where I was standing trying to get her out, I just look back and go, wow, we were pretty lucky to. And another fortunate thing for us was that the fire department was just up the street. The police department and fire department, the PV, Paradise Valley Police and Fire, did a fantastic job getting there and defusing the situation so quickly. And you learn to I've always been a fan and appreciate everything first responders do.
Yep.
But to actually be caught in a situation like that, to realize how they put themselves on the line each and every day, it makes you really appreciate even more how special these people are.
Mm. And I'm sure you've checked back on her. I know you've been busy, but I think I
did. She had a couple broken ribs, a punctured lung, a dislocated thumb,
jeez,
and a lot of bruising.
Yeah, take her to a game. I mean, have her throw out a first pitch.
I will. I'm gonna get with her here after everything calms down for me. And for some reason, I feel like I have a special bond with her
because
of the simple fact of of doing something like that with her.
Did she know who you were?
I'm not sure if she did at the time.
Yeah.
I think later on, one of the either police officers or somebody at the hospital must have told her, because her family has reached out to me since then.
Wow.
To thank me, and I really don't.
That's not you. That's
really
not you.
I really don't see it as anything special. I'm just doing something that I think when you're put in that situation that you just react to it. And I think I honestly believe sports has helped me in that, because sometimes you really don't think, you just react. And that's what happened in that situation.
One other thing, I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time, and that is last September, Luis came down for a pilot that I was shooting. And I remember we had a conversation about the team, and it was just kind of head-scratching, befuddling. There was just something off about last year's team. What is it about this year's team where they're sitting there a game and a half back as we're in the middle of June that you see that's different from last year?
I think, for one, no disrespect to the other people who were here before, but I think the team loves the coaching staff. Tori Lovello and the new front office have done a fantastic job of communicating with these guys. Our pitching staff is a year more mature. They've done a fantastic job. We're playing extremely well at home. We have to try to figure out now how to play better on the road.
Right.
But once we get that going, we're going to be okay. But the simple fact that we've gotten that home team swagger back, which is something that we had back in the day when we had those good teams in 99, 2000, and early 2000s, is something that was sorely missed here in the last few years. So it's a great sign when you can come home and play well. Now we just need to get on the road and play better. But these guys are all playing with a lot of confidence, and they believe in each other. And when you have a team that does that, good things happen, and that's what's happening right now with our ball club.
Who's the guy that you look at on this team and say, wow, this guy is just not getting enough national attention, a national run, or even local attention or run? Is there one guy on this team?
Well, I mean, you got to look at Jake Lamb and Robbie Ray, what they've been doing. Both of those guys have just been outstanding. And then, of course, you know, Goldie is always going to be Goldie. He's Mr. Consistency on the team. Greinke's having a fantastic year. And if you look now at the team, the way they've been playing, and just think that A.J. Pollock isn't even in the lineup.
Right.
Some of the cast-off guys that you bring in, we've done a fantastic job of bringing in some veteran guys that know how to play the game the right way. Descalzo, you know, and some of the other
Iannetta,
the younger veteran or veteran guys that we have in our bullpen. These guys know how to play the game, and they know what they're doing when they get out there. And that's a sense of confidence that you have when you can run those guys out there.
Appreciate your time and your insight, and congratulations again. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thank you.
See you down the road. There's Luis Gonzalez with us. Always good to catch up with Gonzo. He has a big fancy title with the Diamondbacks, but I just know him as Gonzo. It's good to catch up with him. A lot of good stuff there. Jason Jewell and Jordan Hamm. We're going to do a deep dive into college football, high school football recruiting on the other side. Then Haley Stasiak on the Diamondbacks and draft night. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. Got a note here as we get into Jason and Jordan on the NBA Finals that ratings just came in. And Phoenix is not even included in the top 10 markets last night. Columbus, Ohio, Sacramento, Atlanta. There's nothing going on in Sacramento, but it's near the Bay Area. I get it. Atlanta, Miami, Memphis, L.A., Chicago, Richmond, Virginia, of all places. Phoenix is nowhere near that. I got to find out the number of what Phoenix did last night. All right. Let's turn our attention now to recruiting. Jason Jewell, of course, Sports 360 AZ's recruiting insider, and Jordan Hamm, the face of the Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup. And he is with Scout.com as well. I'm okay using that, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right. Yeah, you put yourself up there. We want to see you in here, Jason. All right, guys, let's go into the deep dive here. As we are sitting here in the middle of June, if you were to go through the top five high school programs for next season, and I know you're going to upset some people on this, so you can go a little deeper if you want. Let's start with you, Jason. Top five high school football programs in the state of Arizona right now.
Well, are you talking just football? Are we talking recruiting? Or
let's talk just football on the field for the coming year. The best five that you've seen this summer evaluation and everything that they have. Best five, Jason.
You know, it always starts with Chandler and Saguaro. The two programs right there playing lights out football, and they have a bunch of Division I football, you know, football players every single year. Then, you know, I think Hamilton is still a school that you talk about being a top five, top program with, you know, Tyler Shuck at quarterback, and then Jawar Jordan just committed to Syracuse at running back. That's definitely a top five type school. I also like Mountain Point. They're, you know, very, very loaded year in and year out. So that gives me four. If I'm going to throw out, you know, one more, I would say probably a tie between Centennial and Higley. I like what Higley's been doing the offseason, and Centennial is a school on the west side that does a fantastic job.
Jordan?
I would go any combination of those. I think those are kind of the leaders in the clubhouse. A couple other teams that I really like, Perry. They return a ton of talent, as well as I think Sal Point down in Tucson and Cienega. Those are two teams that, since they're in Tucson, I don't think they get a lot of love, but they have a ton of talent down there, both recruiting-wise and just on the field. I think they could make some deep runs.
Okay, give me one program that is not getting enough run, Jordan.
I would say Deer Valley. They have a lot of talent up front on that offensive line, led by Joey Ramos. Des Melton is going to be a name that you're going to know over the next few years. He's a junior running back, and he's built like a Mack truck, but he can run something like a 4.5 or something like that. So really fast power and speed combination. I think they're going to be a team on the rise this year.
Jason?
That was a good call, but I think Horizon is a school on the rise. You have three players with Division I offers. They're good in the trenches and had a solid season last year. I think they're on the up and up.
Okay, where's Brophy at in all this?
Brophy is one of those programs that is solid. They don't have a ton of Division I talent this year. They usually have a guy or two. I was not able to go out and see them in spring. Had that baby pop up on me, but so I missed a few schools. But Brophy is one of those solid, well-coached team. Scooter Molander does a fantastic job over there. And they're not always loaded with Division I players. They have a kid or two, but you know, they don't have the great, great athletes that like a Chandler or a Saguaro does have.
Okay, let's go right down now through the – it's 2017. National Letter of Intent Day, Jace, has been moved up to December 20th, right? Is it the 20th of December?
Yes, I don't know exactly, but it's in that range, yeah. Okay. December 15th, baby.
So with that said, and Jordan, jump in on this, how different do you think recruiting will be this year in the state of Arizona? Is it a deep class? Is it a shallow class? If it's a deep class, are there going to be some big names that jump on that 20th date, sign the bottom line, get out of here, or are they going to hold off? Let's start with you, Jordan.
I would say I think this class is deeper than we initially thought. I think the 2017 class was just so deep that it kind of backlogged the classes behind them. But we're seeing a lot of talent and a lot of offers really develop, especially in spring ball. In terms of the early signing day, I think for some of the top guys, they'll try to get it out of the way. We've seen that Tyler Shuck wants to get things wrapped up. During the summer, Jack Plummer just committed. I think Solomon Enos could be a earlier commit. So I could see some of those guys signing early. But I think for the most part, it's still new. So I think some people might be hesitant to use that early signing day if they're not 1,000% sure.
Jason?
Yeah, no, you look at the class. I do think it's deep. There are now 63 players in the 2018 class that have FBS or FCS level offers. And it's interesting to ask this question. I had this discussion with someone on Sunday about the early signing period. And what I think is going to happen is you're going to see how interested these college coaches really are. Are they going to send you a letter of intent in December if they're really interested? Or are they going to be like, oh, no, I'm going to kind of wait and see what happens in come February? You're going to see how genuinely interested they are. And then you're going to see if the kids just want to get it out of the way. Am I going to sign then, or am I going to wait it out, take some more official visits, and then wait it out till February? So I think the college coaches are really good. They're going to throw all their cards out on the table. If they are legitimately and genuinely interested in a prospect, are you going to issue a letter of intent for me in December? So I think that's a good question.
But I think, Jason, to take it a step further, you're going to have these kids that are mid-level recruits. Jordan and I were talking about this off the top. They may be offered by San Jose State. And that may be the best that they think they can do in November. And there's nothing wrong with going to San Jose State. But you may have an Arizona State or a Washington State come in later on that kid in December and wait to see. And they're going to dangle the carrot. Don't you think that's going to happen, where you're going to have parents and you're going to have coaches and players that are going to have the carrot dangled in front of them?
Without a doubt. But these college coaches they're not going to be foolish, and they're not going to issue all – do whatever it is, 28 letters of intent out in December. They're going to leave some open for some of those sleeper prospects. I mean, there are still schools right now, not a ton of them, but there are still schools right now that have scholarships available for, you know, junior college transfers, four-year level transfers, sleepers that are still looking, or guys are still waiting to qualify. So they're not going to throw everything out there in December, I guarantee you. They're going to wait for some of those guys to develop and see what else shakes out through February.
And there's another thing, another storyline that I'm tracking with this early signing day. I cover Stanford for Scout, so this is something that's come up a lot. In the case of Stanford, they don't take any official visits until January, which is after that first deadline. So the highly academic schools where it takes a while for you to even know if you're going to get into school, I think that's really going to impact how they do their recruiting and maybe trying to get through the admissions process even earlier. So that's something to keep out for or look out for as well.
Position of strength. It seems like you guys, when I see your segment or Jason, your message boards, by the way, if you haven't gone to the forum on the website, just go to the homepage, sports360az.com. Go to the forum, far right side, click on it. Jason's got this 24/7 football forum that's terrific content, and you can get involved in the conversation. It feels like, guys, that this so far is the year of the quarterback. Some years it's the year of the lineman. Some years it's the year of all these wide receivers. But, Jason, am I right on that? If we're putting the thumbnail on 2018, this is a really good year of a deep year of quarterbacks in the state.
Yeah. There are a ton of, I was going to say that when you, I thought you were going to ask me what position was the deepest and quarterback was going to be the first that came out of my mouth. You look at, you know, Jack Plummer Gilbert just committed to Purdue, and we've already talked about Chuck and Max Massengale over at Saguaro and Brock Purdy at Perry, and then Jamari Joyner, Diego's committed to Arizona. I mean, there are a ton of quality quarterbacks in this class, and there's several others like Kylan Weiser at Notre Dame Prep that's a very good football player, and Derek Klein at Desert Vista that have, you know, guys like that that have Division I offers. I think quarterback class is great, and it's not just in the 2018 class. You look at the 2019 class led by Spencer Rattler, one of the top players in the entire country over at Pinnacle High School. I think it's going to continue to stay this way.
What's the second deepest position, Jordan, from your view?
I would say offensive line. Joey Ramos, Mateo Mele. Seems like every single year Desert Edge has a couple guys. They have three really good senior offensive linemen this year. And you can never count out the Williams Fields, the Centennials. They're going to get looks as well as Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a very deep team returning, and it starts all up front with Kyle White. So I think that offensive line is definitely a group that's up there along with quarterback.
Jason, how are Arizona State and Arizona doing in-state this year?
No, I would say Arizona State's probably got a leg up doing a little bit better. I was out at Arizona State's camp on Sunday and spent a lot of time watching the offensive linemen, and I think they have a good chance. Joey Ramos that Jordan just mentioned was over there, and then several other very quality football players, Sean Anderson and Verado and several other guys. So I would say Arizona State's probably doing a little bit better right now and making a little bit better push than the guys down south in Tucson.
What do you see, Jordan? ASU, U of A.
I think U of A got a great commitment in Jamari Joyner. We don't know if he's going to play quarterback or be an athlete. I was watching him yesterday just as a 7-on-7 where he can't run, but he is incredibly athletic. He's bulked up a ton. But I think what Jason said is correct. I think that Arizona State is really looking not only at this class, but classes, even at 2020. They've been early on Tommy Christakis, as has Arizona, but a couple of offensive linemen that have really jumped out that may not have even seen much of the field at the varsity level last year, but they've already offered them. So I think that they're really trying to not only focus on this class, but classes after that as well.
Before we go here, go ahead, Jason, go ahead.
I was going to say, but, it is funny, though. I say that ASU is ahead, but, U of A does have the two commitments in Joyner and David Watson, the offensive lineman from Amphitheater. I just think ASU is in on some of the higher-end prospects doing a better job with those guys.
What do you guys see nationally? Who's coming in here? Like, Purdue gets a quarterback, but the dad, there's a connection on that one, right? So, I mean, that one makes sense to me. What are you seeing in other programs coming in here from a national level? I'll give you an example. I hear Shuck's going to commit to South Carolina. If push came to shove today, he would be a Gamecock. How does that happen? How does that work? He's visited all these other programs. How does South Carolina come into Arizona and try to nab somebody? How does Syracuse come into Arizona and grab Jordan, the running back at Hamilton? How's that happen, Jace?
Well, Syracuse, another tie with Jawar. He's originally from New York, but Arizona is an easy place to recruit. It's easy to come in, fly into Sky Harbor, and go in, and you can see the top 20 schools, and 90% of the Division I prospects are going to be from the Phoenix area, and these schools can come in, a school like Syracuse, a school like South Carolina, and they don't have to pound the pavement and spend weeks recruiting here. They can come in and do a day or two. And then also with the internet, with Huddle, with Scout, with Rivals, it's easier to find some of these prospects. So you see schools that don't necessarily or haven't necessarily recruited out here heavily in the past. It's easier and more accessible for kids to come in here or coaches to come to Arizona and recruit this state.
Yeah, anything on that, Jordan?
Yeah, I think also when in these national showcases, the Army All-American Bowl, there were four representatives there that were players, as well as Jason Mons. The opening this year has three players. So I think a lot of eyeballs are on some of these players. And while they're out there, they're going to look at other players. They want to have it be a productive trip and try to canvas as much as they can in the state. So I think showing up in those national competitions is huge for the state.
Okay, one last question. I usually don't focus on kids, on specific kids to this level, but I think this one player is somebody that needs to have the discussion. We've done a documentary on Spencer Rattler. I've seen stuff about Spencer Rattler all across the country. Jason, is he going to go down as the most recruited quarterback to come out of Arizona? And I know that's relative year to year, but it feels like there's not been this much buzz around a quarterback prospect that I can recall. There's always the Kyle Allen's going to be really great, and Brian Lewerke is going to be terrific, and Brett Hundley is going to be something. But is it just the internet now? Is it just all the different avenues? Because Spencer's everywhere.
Yeah, he has 17 scholarship offers right now. So yeah, you could say at this point, I've been doing this for like 15 years, and I've never seen a kid that's heading into their junior year at any position, much less quarterback, have this many offers early. But then it's funny that you say, is he going to be the most recruited guy ever? You turn around in the 2020 class a year later, and Jack Miller's just come out his freshman year. He already has nine scholarship offers. Mm. So maybe that title lasts for 1 year with Spencer. But gosh, what a fantastic football player Spencer is. I remember going out and watching him play as a freshman against Brophy. The first time I ever seen him play, takes him down, and they go end up kicking a game-winning field goal. And I'm like, this kid's a freshman to have the savvy to go down and do what he just did. It's just unreal, and what also just a good kid as well. But he's a fantastic recruit, fantastic player.
Where does he end up, Jason, today as we're sitting here talking?
Gosh, when I'm looking at his offer sheet, he has offers from, look at Syracuse, Memphis, Texas, and all, over there, Miami on the East Coast, and you come back over and you got, Oregon State, both the in-state schools, you got UCLA. I don't know. It's a crapshoot at this point in time. I have no gut feeling on where he's going to end up.
Jordan?
He's kept it pretty close to the chest. It's still early in the recruiting process, so your guess is as good as mine, but he has plenty of great options to go to.
Good stuff, guys. Look forward to visiting with you more. The forum page with Jason has on the website, and, of course, Jordan, the face of the Rock and Refuel Recruiting Roundup. Both guys, thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Good deal. We'll take a break. Haley Stasiak on the other side on the Diamondbacks draft. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Haley Stasiak joins us, part of Sports360AZ.com. And, of course, she is a seam head by Jordan's own explanation. And when I see these two that geek out together on baseball, it's a compliment.
I take it as a compliment.
You should. Well, what other term would you like? Baseball fan? You're more than a fan. You're an insider. You love this stuff. You consume this stuff.
I love the whole American dream thing behind
it. Where did this come from?
Summers traveling with my brother. I have a younger brother that played baseball, and so my summers were spent traveling Midwest. We went to Nebraska, Omaha, Louisiana.
So you kept score?
Kentucky. No. I was the baseball sister, and I was the oldest in our group. So I kind of was the babysitter a little bit.
You were the nanny.
I took care of all the other younger kids.
And that was where your love of baseball grew?
Yes.
Okay. So, when I first met Haley, she was coming back from the Olympics, and as I have gotten to know her even more, it's baseball is her thing. It's your passion bucket. So with that as the backdrop, the Diamondbacks last night held their draft, and I don't know these players, so I'm going to lean on you, drop some knowledge on me about what they did last night.
Well, they really went for those developed collegiate bats. That was something that scouting director Derek Ladner said about these three guys. They took Paven Smith in the first round, seventh pick out of Virginia. He's a guy that has 13 home runs in this past season and only 12 strikeouts. And
wow.
They asked him about kind of what his approach at the plate was, and he was basically just like, I really hate striking out with a passion. There was no logistics behind it at all. He just blatantly said, I really hate striking out with a passion. So looking forward to that. And I think something with the draft that people need to remember is these guys aren't going to end up right in Phoenix right away. And sure. Tavon Smith is a first baseman. And some of the questions were, obviously, first base is pretty solidified for the Diamondbacks, but they have to move through the system, so that's something to keep in mind. Second round, they took Drew Ellis out of Louisville. And Louisville is headed to the College World Series this weekend. So Diamondbacks fans will get to see what the Diamondbacks got in him. He's also a big bat. He's got 18 doubles and 20 home runs with 61 RBIs, leading the Cardinals with that at a batting average of .367. So some good numbers with him.
What's he play?
He is a true third baseman.
True third baseman.
Yeah,
okay.
So a couple infielders there.
And last time I checked, they have a true third baseman right now.
Right. But
so it's fine. We're projecting 4 or 5 years
away.
Right, right. And that's the beauty of the draft. And then they took a catcher?
Yes, out of University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. They really like his bat. They're thinking more of his bat than his defense, but they like him behind the plate.
What's
and
his name?
He's a power hitter. Dalton Varsho.
Dalton Varsho. All right. So they take these three players, and I know you were on the conference call last night. Did they give the usual, we couldn't believe they were there, we like what they're all about, or was there a little bit more deep,
there was,
more meat than that?
I think there was a little bit more meat. They said that they'd had their eye on these three guys throughout the year, and they've had been watching them for a while, and they were really excited to get them. They didn't necessarily say we didn't expect to get them, but they were watching those boards and kind of hoping that those guys would be there when they got to pick.
Okay, we had Luis Gonzalez on earlier about Jacob from Chaparral High School being selected. Locally, what's going on?
Well, down in Tucson, J.J. Banajevic was the last pick yesterday, 75th to the Astros. That's a good pick, in my opinion.
What position?
He's first baseman, okay. Infield. I believe he actually might have gotten drafted to the Astros at third base, but really good power hitter there, too, out of college. And Arizona is a true MLB training ground. We looked at some numbers from some other guys. Bobby Dalbec tweeted that Banajevic was a steal at pick number 75. And in the high school front, Gonzalez is the only one out of the high schools around here that has gotten drafted. But I'm keeping an eye on Trevor Haver out of Perry. He's committed to play at ASU. He's an infielder. Jake Holmes out of Pinnacle, also committed to ASU. And then Boyd Vanderkooy out of Skyline, also committed to ASU. So yeah, those are some top three high schoolers that have still yet to go around the area that are committed to ASU. So if they decide to go, ASU might be losing some top
players.
And
you have Cole Bellinger as well,
oh, yeah,
who's over at Hamilton, who's committed to play for Andy Stankwitz over at GCU. So today should be a busy day on that front.
Oh, yeah. Today and tomorrow, another guy that I'm keeping an eye on is Andrew Shapps, who was dismissed from ASU, but he's pretty up there in some prospect stuff with things going on around the draft. So watching to see where he goes today or tomorrow, too.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Of course.
Haley Stasiak there. You can check out her content on the website at sports360az.com. And that is our show for today. If you missed any part of this, you can check it out. It re-airs over and over and over and over right here. We put in podcast form. Thanks to our sponsors. Without our sponsors, we don't do this every day. Our television show is tonight on sports360az.com with Fox Sports Arizona, our broadcast partner tonight before and after the Diamondbacks games at Detroit. We will see you tomorrow.